Books of the Bible. Acts is the second volume of the Gospel according to Luke. It begins with the ascension of Christ and covers the first 30 years of the early church. Acts is about the sovereignty of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the preaching of the Word as early Christians seek to spread the Gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's not thinking. No, how they anthropomorphize, they use human language and human attributes to describe a machine. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy,
yes.
I asked you to use the AI machine to ask it if John MacArthur ever quoted C.S. Lewis.
Correct.
And you said your AI said what to you?
It was thinking.
Oh, is that what it's... You mean it's scouring the internet?
It has.
Looking for things?
That's right.
That's not thinking. And speaking of... Well, find out. Has it spit it out yet? It's taken that long?
There are several. There are several quotes.
Now, are you sure? Because...
I'm not sure.
See, now you said it and you better reel that back in because you don't know unless you interrogate AI.
But it gives you a link to Grace to You, so I'm assuming...
All right, go check that out because... The AI machine, Virgil and Daryl, Just Thinking podcast, like 2.5 hours long on AI. Go listen to it. It especially, Pastor, if you're leaning on it for any sort of sermon prep, I didn't say writing sermon, for any sort of sermon prep, you got to be careful with that bad boy. I'm telling you, I have been yelling at my AI machine. I have been like, hey, I told you to only use... What a quote, a direct quote. They'll hallucinate. They make up a quote. And even though I instructed it, I never want you to make up a quote. I don't want you to take a compilation of what you think that guy was thinking and turn it into a quote. I want quote with source. And it just gives me another hallucination. And it's like, what are you doing? Are you being willfully belligerent? Stop doing this. I literally... I'm yelling at my AI because if you don't check it, and I know that it's not as reliable as I think we've been given the impression. And I'm not just talking about because sources, that it goes to different sources. That's a problem. But another problem is it doesn't give you those sources accurately all the time. So when I catch, it's like, hey, wait a second. That verse, I know that verse. That the verse does not say that. And then you know what it says? Very sorry for the confusion. Oh, we're very sorry for the confusion. Okay, fine, AI machine. Be very, very careful. Okay, now did you track that down?
Yeah, none of these are right.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're talking about.
See, and here's why. I don't know that John MacArthur's ever quoted anybody. I mean, that is like a really high compliment. John MacArthur was a unique one. I'm telling you, I remember for years and years, I was kind of under this impression that people who are brilliant, they're like weird and they've got lab coats on and, you know, they live in a weird place. That's not what being brilliant. John MacArthur was brilliant. Ray Comfort is brilliant. You get that when you're around them. It's like, oh, you're just advanced. And he was so advanced when it came to dealing with scriptures. It was such a unique gift. I don't know that he needed to quote anybody.
Well, he did. I found it.
He found one quote?
And, well, this one, yeah, this is the first one that I found. 1981, he quoted. He quoted and said, he said, C.S. Lewis, writing in The Problem of Pain, says the lost enjoy forever the horrible freedom they have demanded and are therefore enslaved, self-enslaved.
Yeah, that's good stuff too.
Yeah.
But that was probably the last time.
It could have been.
Yeah, John just didn't need to quote people. Hey, speaking of John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, preaching at Grace Life on Sunday, and he was talking about the Charlie Kirk nightmare. Go listen to it. Phil is so good. His preaching, I'm telling you, it's not it's expositional, it's textual, all kind of mingled. It's just really magnificent. And his voice sounded so strong. And his hair is thicker than, like, what's a thing, like a whatever patch, like a, or whatever crop or fields. What's something that's thick besides my head? His hair is like, dude, because he lost it all during the chemotherapy, of course. And now he lost his hair. I'm trying to recall all of the regimens that he was on. And it's growing back like nobody's business. And I don't think there's a gray hair to be found, which is really agitating. You got any more? J-Mac quoting C.S. Lewis?
Yeah, he quoted him as far back as 2010.
Well, look at, okay.
Yeah. Or, right. Yeah. Okay. That was the last time, though. That's the last one, 2010.
Okay. All right. All that to say, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Corey. Todd, is it theologically sound to start a sentence with God told me or God spoke to me? I've been in the camp that that's not theologically sound, but now I'm not so sure.
Okay. Yes, you can say that. What do you mean? Do you suddenly think that we get audible revelations from God? No, you can make that claim when you've got your Bible on your lap. God told you, it's right there. That's everything we need. It's totally sufficient, everything. Now, does God lead us? Of course he does. Now, how he does that, of course, we need to understand from Romans chapter 8. When you're being led by the Spirit, what does that even mean? And I think John Krotz talked about that. That one's going to be released, I think, next year. It's going to be a series on the Holy Spirit. Being led by the Spirit isn't a feeling. Being led by the Spirit means he's applying the word to your heart and to your mind so that you're applying it in life and you're being led by that. Does God tell you something? The problem with that, and I get it, you feelings and all of that, gotta weigh those carefully because Morris Alpert was right. They're nothing more than feelings. It has to be from God's word to say definitively, God told me, a correct application of what the Bible says. That is God telling us, listening to preaching, that is good. That is God telling, receiving godly wisdom from somebody. That's God telling you something, not on the standard of divine revelation, of course, but God communicating truth to you through his people and through his word. And when the people speak and you're hearing from God, it's because they're quoting the Bible. They're using scripture as their source. So no matter how you circle the wagons, in the center of it is the word. That's how God speaks to us. So if you got your Bible, then you can say God told you so. Be careful about making decisions based on, I think God is telling me. Now, could God be giving you a feeling or Here's a term for you. Jimmy, do you go for this one? God laid it on my heart.
I don't. But
why?
Because I used to, probably.
And because it's so abused.
It is. It is. And that's what I spiritually grew up hearing.
Right.
And then you start.
But does God ever lay something on your heart?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, and it, I think it's the abuses again that have robbed us. I don't, does he do it regularly? I don't know what the pattern is. I don't know what the frequency is, but it's like, you know, okay, how's about a calling? You feel called to pastoral ministry. Where does that come from? Is that just your DNA or is that God laying it on your heart, giving you a desire to be a proclaimer of the word? So I want to be careful that I don't let people who have so abused it. I mean, that I just remember that all the time. Well, God just laid it on my heart to tell you. You're sure that God laid that there or you just want to tell me something? Because how do you know? So I don't want to say, yeah, definitively. But at the same time, I don't want to say, no, absolutely not. It's just that we don't know. We don't know. So what do you do if you've got a feeling? I just really feel the need to go to Guadalajara to share the gospel. Okay, so what do you do with that feeling? If you don't examine it, then you might end up making a bad decision. So what do you do? I just, you know, I've got this sense that I should be going to this particular place to do this particular activity. Don't ever stop with just a feeling. Instead, examine the Bible, because you've got desires of your heart. You've got preferences. You've got likes, dislikes. So you want to maybe do something. You see something that catches your attention. It's a feeling. Did God put it there? I'm not going to say he did. I'm not going to say he didn't. But what you need to do is examine the Bible to see if that is the right decision. Get godly counsel from godly people who use the Bible when they download wisdom into your life. Consider your preferences. Consider simultaneously, not just your preferences, but consider the implications. Consider the wisdom. All right. You think that this heavy burden to go to Guadalajara to share the gospel, I gotta do it. Can you afford it? What about time away from work? How's your marriage? So wisdom needs to be employed. And as you weigh all of those things, you can make a decision. And then you'll have a better sense of, did God really lay it on my heart? The problem, of course, historically has been, that's been the lead. Don't worry about reading the Bible. Did God lay it on your heart? Then do it. Say it. Sing it. That inevitably is a disaster. And it's just not biblical. There's just a more reliable way. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though that's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok, your marriage is under attack, and the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Kratz, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Glosson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily. Absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, he has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
For the record, Jimmy, I don't hate that one either. This is Wretched Radio. What did you tell me to do during the break?
I said you just have to step out in faith.
Okay.
You asked.
What's the problem with that statement?
Do we have time?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's clear. What does that mean? I think it demands defining. By the way, I was with Greg Kokel a week ago, I believe. I just see the need for this so regularly. And it's not just in a political conversation or an evangelistic opportunity. It's just all the time. What do you mean by that? What does that word mean to you? Okay, step out in faith. It could mean, hey, you feel it? Then just trust God and do it. And people do use it that way. And that's one of the reasons where I'm like, you kind of burned the entire concept of something that I think is more biblical, to step out in faith, that you've weighed everything. You don't do something that's horribly dangerous or risky, but it requires a fair amount of courage. Step out and trust the Lord, believing that he will take care of you in this process because you've worked through the Bible, you've received godly counsel, you've prayed for wisdom, you've considered wisdom issues. Then step out, trusting the Lord, that he can do a good work in this. And now see that, do you have a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with that, but I mean—
it's the baggage connected to the phrase.
Right, and it can be sloppy sometimes.
It's been sloppy at most times that it's been used.
Right.
And by the way, it's also dangerous. Mm. You just got to step out in faith. Okay, so I guess I'll sell my house and drain my retirement account so that I can sell these bracelets that have a message on them. Okay, I'll step out in faith then, and disaster. Mm. So it's some of the evangelical lingo. The problem with it isn't that it was necessarily wrong. It just wasn't defined well enough, and it allowed too much slop to be included in it. Here's one too. This is just another overuse of a phrase. And so I think we've dismissed it, and it's a bummer. How's about Christianity is not a religion? It's a relationship. Okay, well, that statement, by the way, isn't totally right because it is a religion. Mm-hmm. But it's a religion about a relationship. It's not supremely a religion. It happens to be a religion because of all of the components that qualify it for being a religion. But this is about knowing God. By the way, that's going to be my sermon this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church if you're in the hood. We have direct access with God. Okay, if you're from Alpharetta Bible Church, don't listen to this right now because we're going to do something on Sunday. Jimmy, tell me what you think of this idea.
Okay.
The text.
Terrible. I'm sorry.
Jesus dies. He gives up his spirit. Remember, he gives. It wasn't taken. He gives up his spirit because he was orchestrating all of this. He was in complete charge of everything that was happening. Total control. And then what happens? You've got the different signs that happen: the earthquakes, the rocks splitting, etc. But then you've got the temple curtain tearing from top to bottom. That's the biggie. Mm-hmm. The other ones were cosmic signs. I think that we're proclaiming the massive nature of the event. But the veil being torn from top to bottom, that has so much theological significance. And so for our Old Testament, so what do we get from that? You get direct access to God. Yeah. When do you get that access? 24/7. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. If you're from ABC, don't listen right now, please. So Jimmy, we're going to read Leviticus 16, the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Because it talks about the priest entering into the holy of place through the veil. And we always stand for the reading of God's word. And so I suspect we'll be standing for 4 minutes for that reading. That's a lot for most of us in the 21st century. Oh, goodness. And why are we going to do that? That isn't even close to what it took to have access to God one time per year. And it wasn't even you. It would have to be a priest to represent you. So to stand and listen to what it took for having access to God through the veil, which is Jesus Christ, it helps us to appreciate the privilege that we have. The privilege. And furthermore, there's shadows and types going on here too. I actually forgot about this. I need to go put this in the sermon. Jesus is the veil. Jesus is the veil. So you're saying that Jesus was torn in two? Symbolically, yes. Why? Because that's what it takes to cut a covenant, the splitting of an animal. So I think the symbolism, I think, is there. I can understand somebody might go, I'm not so sure, but I do think it is there that Jesus, the veil was rent, split in two, that we might have direct access through him to God. Wow, what we get in Jesus Christ. Wow, what he accomplished for us. Direct access to God. Ask yourself the question, have you been taking advantage of that privilege? Do you run to him regularly in a more joyous way because you know that he actually did that so that he could be in a right relationship with you? The renting of the veil, huge implications. And I'm hoping that we appreciate it more after we have to stand for 4 or 5 minutes listening to, well, they had to do what? Then with the incense? Okay, then the washing and then the animal. And when is he even going to get in there? And then he does what when he's inside the Holy of Holies? And then that's it. And I'm standing out here. Yep. How much better is Jesus?
Just before you read it for 4 or 5 minutes, remind them in Nehemiah, they stood from early morning to midday.
Oh, I know. I know. I have some friends. They just went to an Eastern Orthodox wedding. You stood for the whole service.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't short. You know, we didn't. Ask your AI machine, when were church pews invented? Sitting in church, people didn't. If you've ever gone to some of the European cathedrals and they don't have pews, it's like, where are they? Did they break down and they didn't replace them? No, they never had them because you just stood there the whole time. Aren't you grateful that there isn't a Bible verse to support that? I get it. If you want to do it, that's why we stand for the reading of the word in honor of the privilege of hearing from God through his word. But you don't have a Bible verse that says you should stand the entire service. Woo.
So around the 13th century, movable benches and stone seats along the wall started appearing in some churches.
877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, a few weeks ago, you talked about...
You know what, Jimmy, if I could?
Uh-huh.
Back, what was it, 13 what?
13th century.
Yeah, so 1200s. Do you know how many church splits there were over this?
That's what we're about to
say. People, we can't have chairs in here. That's not the way that we do it. All righty, give us a reason to split. We'll take it.
Well, that's exactly what I'm about to ask you.
Oh, cool.
From Anonymous, a few weeks ago, you talked about unity of the church and the split between primary and tertiary issues. Can you clarify what types of issues fall into the secondary category?
Sure. I would say spiritual gifts, eschatology, the issue of baptism, not for salvation, that we would say is outside of grace alone, but paedobaptism versus believer's baptism. These are issues. They aren't even your understanding of the Lord's Supper. What is happening there? If anything, what's happening there? Those would be secondary issues. I think third level issues, it's going to be things that are so distant. Okay. I'm not even sure that Jimmy. All right. I'm not looking to provoke anybody unnecessarily. The Charlie Kirk assassination and preaching on it on Sunday morning. Okay. Mm-hmm. There are people who are insisting the pastor had to have done that or he's not qualified.
Yeah.
Okay. We're posting that today, by the way, on the YouTube machine. Jimmy, what level of theology is that issue? Secondary, tertiary?
I would say tertiary.
I don't think it's even that level.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
It's like way down there.
Yeah. I mean, if the man preached the gospel, I just...
Well, I have to run to the Bible. It's like, where does it say that a pastor... No. As I made clear, I think yesterday, I would encourage a pastor that didn't to reconsider it, because this was earlier. Why was this such a big deal? And people are still hurting from it. They're confused. It's so jarring to the human psyche. Assassination, that's a big nasty. And so I think people are still hurting. People are still talking about it today on my desk. Oh, the articles. I've got a stack of Charlie Kirk articles now. So writing is catching up to YouTubers. It's a big deal. So I would encourage a pastor to do it. Would I say he has to do it? No. He's the pastor of that church, not me. I don't have any authority over him. And furthermore, and this was one of the criteria in considering, did a pastor have to, is what level of theology is that particular issue? Got thoughts? You can send it to idea@wretched.org. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.